May be seated. Take out your notes if you would, and you can fill in any of the blanks that come along as we be going through part three of our Christmas series, It's a Wonderful Life. This morning, we'll let everyone get out. This morning we'll be looking at, if we didn't have Christ's birth, we wouldn't have the New Testament. How many of you, it was very poor singing during I Heard the Bells. How many of you never heard that before? Is there anybody who never heard that? That's the only one I know. I said never heard another one. Oh, okay. Oh, really? Okay. Well, it was, people weren't seeing it, so I thought, my goodness, that's been around forever. But that's what the movie was about. I Heard the Bells, and it told the story of the writing of that. That he lost his wife tragically. She got burned to death. His son had been in the Civil War, and he just looked around the world and he said, all the hatred and anger, there is no peace on earth. And then he almost given up the writing of it, and then God kind of spoke to his heart and said, no, God is still on the throne. He's still in control. And it's a great song. So appreciate singing that. But then Emmanuel is probably my favorite Christmas song now for the last 10 or 12 years. I probably listen to it two or three times a week during the Christmas season. But God is with us, and that's what Christmas is all about, is the miracle of his birth. So far, we've looked at the first two points in this series of if Christ had not been born, there would have been no prophecies fulfilled. Last week, there would have been no miracles or no teaching, and to think about that, we wouldn't have the words of Christ. And today, no New Testament. Pray for Saturday night, Christmas Eve. I wanted to do the salvation message more so there, so I'm talking about no suffering and death, and then on Sunday, no hope, and no mediator if Christ had not been born. There were a lot of other things we could have added to that list, but those are the ones I thought we should talk about. I will tell you, today, Saturday night, and next Sunday are all going to be shorter sermons, okay? So don't cry, don't get all upset, but they are going to be a little bit briefer. Christmas Eve normally is, but next Sunday, hope to have you out within 45 minutes. We'll come and we'll sing a few songs, and we will be speaking God's word, but I do want to keep them a little bit shorter just for the time of the year. But this morning, if Jesus had never been born, there would be no New Testament. So let's pray and ask the Lord to bless our time. Father, we thank you for the words of those songs we just sang, that the writer could say that he's looking around, and we could say it today, there is no peace on earth. There's nothing that looks good. We look in our country and it's a mess. We look in our government and it's a disaster. We look at churches and we're saddened, and I'm sure it's more grieving to you to hear and see the teaching that's going on and the lack of dependence on your word and dependence on your spirit and proclaiming the truth. And Lord, we look around and say there really is no hope, there is no peace. But then the bells sounded and there is an answer in Christ, and we're so grateful for that, Lord. We're thankful that there is a New Testament. We're just looking at these things and just asking the question, as that movie depicted George Bailey saying he wished he had never been born and being granted that wish, we're just looking at what if Christ had not been born. We're thankful that there is no truth to that, that what if he wasn't, that we know for sure that he was and that he did live the life and did die in our place, and we're grateful for that this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. But if Jesus had not been born, and again, that's our premise of the story of It's a Wonderful Life. If Jesus had been born, there would be no New Testament. Because from the beginning of the beginning to the end, and the Bible that we have in our hands is not in chronological order. James, they believe, was the very first New Testament book written. But there would not be the teaching of Jesus. We said that. But if you look at the New Testament and you realize it's all about Christ, it was built on his birth, It was built on the life that he lived. It was built on the teaching that he gave. It was built on the death and resurrection of Christ. If Christ had not been born, there would be no New Testament. And think about the results of that. If Jesus had not been born, John would not have had issued the call. He would not have presented Jesus. John the Baptist ministry would have been non-existent because he was the forerunner of Jesus. Think about the fact that the disciples would not have been called to follow Jesus because Jesus would not have been there. If Jesus had not been born, there would have been no church in the New Testament. There would have been no church anywhere. And all the letters to the churches, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Ephesians, which we just finished, and those books, and then the letters to Timothy and Peter, and all those things, none of them would have been written. There would have been no body for us to join together because it was a symbol of us coming together in Christ. So without Christ, there would have been no New Testament. The New Testament, we know, the Bible, is the most influential book that was ever written. We know that it's still, I don't know if it's the bestseller in the world still, but it's certainly among the bestsellers every year. Some books gain their popularity because there's an influential writer, or perhaps they say something that maybe it's a topic they address. I still remember when I was in Bible college, one of my favorite pastors was Chuck Swindoll. And Chuck Swindoll wrote all these books about joy of this or improving your life in some way. And he did a book called Improving Your Serve and How You Serve the Lord. That was his call. And he said, I remember hearing him speak, and he said, I went into a bookstore and was looking for my book, Improving Your Serve, and he found it in the sports section, that people were buying it because they thought he was telling them how to improve their tennis serve. And he said, however it sells, I'm okay with that, but that's not what he was intending. But you think about the books that have been written. Some books are popular because they tell a story or they reveal a secret. Maybe it's lies, but they reveal a secret about something. Maybe it's the royal family, and those stories are popular today. The Bible was popular because it reveals about Christ, and it reveals truth. There's no question that the Bible is accurate. The Bible is true. But when it comes to the Bible and the teaching, most people will agree that it is a good book, but most people also realize that the Jewish people and Christian people view the Bible very differently. The Jews will acknowledge the Old Testament text, but they're not real sold on the New Testament. They don't agree with that. Christians look to the Old Testament and they say, the Old Testament lays out exactly what's fulfilled in the New Testament, and we're excited about that. It's the completion of the Old Testament story. It tells of paradise created and paradise lost. There's a redemption story throughout the Old Testament as it's all pointing to Christ. The Christian looks at the Old Testament as a revelation of who Jesus Christ is. For the believer, the Old Testament is just a natural way of understanding the entire Word of God. For the Jews, they look at it quite differently. And someone has asked the question, how can two groups of people look at the same book and come away with such opposing views? The believers believe that the Bible is a story about God. It's a story about humanity. It's a story about redemption and salvation. The Jews will look at the Old Testament, and they don't think it's necessarily about God and salvation. They look at it as being about God and land and people, God's people. They don't look at the creation story as being a major part of the Old Testament. What they're more concerned about is that Abraham became the father of the nation. So they look at the Old Testament a little bit differently, but they don't look at the New Testament all the way we do. But if Jesus had never been born, obviously that would not bother them at all. To the Jews, it's the first five books of the Bible, the Torah, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. They're the real scripture. For the believer, again, we look at all of those first five books, as well as all the way through Malachi, as being the backbone of the Word of God. The Jews do not recognize Jesus as being the Messiah. So to them, again, the New Testament is not that important. But for us, without the New Testament, without Christ being born, the New Testament would be vital to us. We would really be losing something. So I have a question there. I said, what does sola scriptura mean? Sola scriptura is a phrase that believers believe in today, whether you know that phrase or not. Sola scriptura, it comes from the Latin sola, meaning the idea of standing alone. It's the ground or the base of our foundation. The word scriptura obviously is referring to scripture. So what sola scriptura means is that it is the only foundation, the only book that's where we can find authority for our faith and for our practice of the Christian life. So sola scriptura is vital to us. Even if you never heard that word before, that phrase, until right now, you've been living it out if you trust the Word of God. The Word of God is God's Word, and it reveals the person and the works and the character of Christ and of God the Father. I thought I had this up here. I guess I don't. Just write in your notes there, 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. The Word of God is powerful. The Word of God is God's Word. The Word of God is God-breathed. And I remember learning that word in Greek, and our college professor, Dr. Gibson, was talking about it. He said it's theopneustos is the Greek word. And he said when God created the world, he just said, world. And it was just kind of a neat effect. What God created, he didn't use anything. He just spoke creation in. And he said, world. And then when God spoke the word of God, he spoke the word to the believers, to the writers, he just breathed it out. He said, John 3:16. He didn't say John 3:16. He didn't quote it in verses. But he said, God loved the world. And just think about that picture. It was just an awesome, that the Word of God, the New Testament, is God-breathed. God breathed it out. So sola scriptura is vital for us as believers today. It is the only basis for our authority in walking with Jesus Christ. And if Christ had not been born, we would not have the New Testament. So there's two things I want to look at that I believe the New Testament reveals. Number one is Christ's person. It's Christ's person. The world knows about Jesus. If you were to ask people, tell me something what you know about Jesus, they might say, well, he was a good man. He performed some miracles. The Bible's written about him. He's supposedly the Son of God. Supposedly he was born at Christmas. Supposedly he died and lived this good life. They would give all this stuff, and they would have no idea of why they believe it or why they're saying it. Some say he was a liar, that he was a deceived liar. It was interesting. My daughter wrote to me. She graduated from college on Friday. So she wrote and said, Dad, I have C.S. Lewis's book, Mere Christianity. I had told her she needed it for one class. And she wrote, and I told her I couldn't find my copy when she needed it. And she said, do you want my copy? I said, yeah, if you can't sell it, bring it home. So she's going to bring it home when she comes Tuesday for me. But Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis has a section in there where he talks about Christ as being a liar, a lunatic, or Lord. There's messages that have been based on that question or that teaching of C.S. Lewis. Jesus, he was either a liar, he was a deceived liar, and he was deceiving everyone around him. He was a lunatic, because what other person would claim to be the Son of God and try to live the way he lived, or he was Lord? And you've got to acknowledge that's what C.S. Lewis' point is. You're face to face with that question. Every person who's ever been born is faced with that question. You're going to say Jesus is a liar? Is he a lunatic? Or are you going to make him the Lord of your life? That's the option we have. And that's what C.S. Lewis is talking about. But Jesus, his person was revealed in the Word of God. John 1:14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus was born. He took on flesh to reveal to us who Christ, or who God the Father was. So I like that phrase, full of grace and truth. That's what Jesus was. He didn't lie. He wasn't a lunatic. He was the Lord. the believer, those of us who trust Jesus Christ, know that he is the one sent from God. We know that he is the one who was part of creation. He took part in creation. I don't know how the Trinity divided that up, but we know based on what we read and our faith that he willingly left heaven, that he was born on earth to die for our sins. We know that his teaching and his miracles by that he was God. Not only was he a good man, but he was perfectly God. He was the perfect sacrifice. And the only way that we know those things is because of the writing of the New Testament. And to think if Jesus had not been born, we might know that he was there at creation. I think a lot of the Old Testament would be there. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That would be there. We would know that someone created the world that we're in, but we wouldn't know that he came to die for that world. The Word of God reveals the Word who became flesh to us, and that flesh dwelt among us and took up residence here. And without the Word of, or without Christ's birth, we would not have that. We would not have Christ dying in our place. And then the next one is Christ's purpose. There's only two. I said it's going to be a shorter message. The entire New Testament is wrapped up in this verse right here. Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. That's why I say, I'll probably say it again tonight, I'll probably say it again at Christmas Eve, is Jesus was born to die. He came to seek and to save the lost. Christ's person, he was Lord. Christ's purpose is that he came to seek and to save us. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about you and I here. He's talking about, you know that? He's talking about the Muslim out there. He's talking about the most vile, sinful person you can think of. He came to seek and to save them. He didn't just come to seek and to save us because we're clean and we're nice and we're Americans and we're part of the church of Draper Baptist and we live in a nice little town of Wellsboro. He did come to seek and to save us, but he came to seek and to save the most vile person I can imagine. And I can imagine, I know I've met some pretty vile people. I've done ministries in various parts of the world. And I've seen the low parts of man. And sometimes I struggle as a missionary to mission work in some of these countries and some of these places and some of these villages and talking to people and watching their reaction and just seeing them get so violent at the mention of Christ and thinking, they can't be saved. There's no way that they're going to come to Christ and think God speaking to me and saying, Ron, I died for that person. I died for them. He came to seek and to save the lost. In Luke chapter 2, this Christmas story in verses 34 and 35, well, let me read Matthew 1:21 first. It says, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. This is God speaking, the angel speaking to Joseph. And then Simeon told Mary in Luke chapter 2, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. In verse 34, this is where I think the song, Mary, Did You Know? Mary, did you know this is really going to happen? And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. The angel, when he appeared to Mary, said, a sword's going to pierce your heart. Do you think she fully grasped what that meant? Did she have any idea that 33 years later, as she gave birth to this little baby and nursed him and raised him and nurtured him as her son, that 33 years later she was going to watch him being beaten and suffering and bleeding and having a crown of thorns on his placed on his head and nail driven into his hands and feet? Do you think she had any idea what that meant when it said a sword's going to pierce your heart? I don't know that she did or she didn't, but I want to tell you, he came, that was his purpose in coming. So this morning, as we wrap this up, we're going to listen to a song. But aren't you grateful this morning that there is no if in our message? If Jesus had not been born. Man, I really felt that this series, I prayed about it through the summer of what I was going to speak on. I really felt the Lord wanted to talk about this. But I am so grateful as I worked on it that God, you are, that the Word of God is complete. Your teachings are there. There is redemption offered because you were born and you did die. Are you grateful this morning for that? He came, he was born to die in our place. We're going to listen to a song. We played it a couple weeks ago on a Wednesday night at prayer meeting. It's just a beautiful song. The words aren't up there, but I want you to listen to the words, and you're going to probably know some of the words. But it's called The Most Beautiful Christmas Song Ever. You can decide on that whether it's true or not. But Joe, if you'd catch lights, that'd be great.
Merry Christmas, everyone. Stephen Sharp Nelson here, representing the Piano Guys. We wanted to take a minute to express our gratitude.
Bells.